Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Hello, I'm Gordon Smart, and you are listening to the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. Hope you're having a lovely time. I'm standing here right now with producer Vin. We're in the studio. It's been a hectic week, and we've put together the best of the Evening Show this week, which includes some good stuff, Vin, doesn't it?
Yeah, we had your mate, Martin Compston.
Yeah, Martin Compston, my former flatmate. He lived in my house, lay on a couch, ate chicken wings for about a year, got me in loads of trouble with my neighbours, then moved out and left loads of rubbish behind.
And now he's in Hollywood.
Now he's a Hollywood star. Here I am on Radio X with you, producer Vinick.
What are you trying to say?
I don't know. This could have been like Entourage.
We'll get you some chicken wings, Jesus.
That's all I want, chicken wings. I've also got Dan Auerbach on the show, who was, you'll know him from Black Keys, but he's a very interesting gentleman and his solo stuff is excellent.
And his name is just really fun to say, isn't it?
I've been struggling to spell it all week, and I've noticed that it sounds a little bit better in a Scottish accent.
I agree, yeah.
I've also got classic albums on the podcast. This week we delved a little bit deeper into Different Class by Pulp, which is a belter of an album from 1995, the real moment Jarvis Cocker arrived on the world stage. I hope you enjoy it. This is the Evening Show podcast.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Right, I'm Gordon Smart, this is Radio X and you're listening to The Evening Show. I'm very excited to say that multi-Grammy winning artist and producer, probably one of the most talented men we've ever had on the show, is in the studio with me, Dan Auerbach. Can I say Dan Auerbach, to help us with the pronunciation, because we've been having a debate in here about it.
Uh-huh.
It sounds good in a Scottish little Auerbach, but yeah. I watched Chrissy Hynde on TV the other night and she called you Auerbach.
Yeah, I think... Yours sounds better.
Ah, right, good. That's the answer I wanted to hear. Dan, it's been a wee while since I've seen you last. I think it was 5 years ago you were headlining Coachella. And I think the last time we had a really good chat about Arctic Monkeys, ping pong, being sick, eating chili dogs, after eating chili dogs on stage. Are you still leading a very similar lifestyle to that?
That sounds about right. I haven't played ping pong in a while.
Yeah, you need to pick that up.
Those guys crushed me into submission.
Yeah, you still keeping in touch with Arctic Monkeys, boys?
Every once in a while I see him around.
Yeah.
But it's not like we ever hung out.
So, Dan, I've got to talk to you about this new album, right? It's a love letter to Nashville, really, isn't it? And I tell you what, I don't know if you're on a commission from the Tourist Board of Nashville, but listening to it and reading about it made me want to visit. It sounds lovely. It sounds incredible. How do you feel about it? You must be very proud of it.
Well, you know, I was on tour so much that I never really got to settle in until last summer. I sort of like made the conscious decision to stop touring, and that's when I felt like Nashville sort of became my home. And when I settled in, I really started to take advantage of all these opportunities around me and all these great musicians, you know.
It sounds like you're having the time of your life when you read about it.
I am. I can't wait to get to the studio. Every day is like Christmas. You know, I love being on tour, but being on tour, you kind of use a different part of your brain. You know, mm-hmm. you're replaying the songs every night, mm-hmm. replaying songs that you recorded maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah,
it's strange, yeah. You know. But when you're in the studio, you're creating every day from scratch. So, I think I really needed that, and that's all I've been doing the last year, and it just feels amazing.
Johnny Marr, I've just read his book. Johnny Marr said that sometimes guitars just have songs in them. You pick them up and the song just comes out. And I got the sense from listening to what you were saying about this album that you've got an instrument that just kind of produced a lot of these songs. And I think you had 100 tracks that you'd written for this.
Yeah, you know, I had this old gut string Guild acoustic guitar that I'd never really played, and I started playing it and last summer, and that's when all these songs started to happen. So I really do believe that. Yeah. It's got to be true. There's some truth in that.
It's a magical connection. And it seems to me that you've probably spent one of the most productive parts of your career since you came back. There's a beautiful line about it. It's about sin, dangerous women, beautiful, tarnished losers. That kind of maybe represents a lot of other... It could be Scotland. It could be England as well. You know, there's a lot of emotion in there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of stories, a lot of lies, a lot of tales. You know, all the good stuff.
Can you tell us anything about the dangerous women? You're a happily married man now, so is that probably a no?
Yeah, the most dangerous.
The one you married.
The one that you marry will always be the most dangerous. Keep that in mind, boys.
It's a good rule, isn't it? Yeah, good philosophy for life. Marry the most dangerous one. Working with Martin Opfler as well, I mean, it's an unmistakable sound that he brings to that song.
It is. It's incredible to think of like that instrument that... How many millions of people play that instrument, and he's able to somehow make it sound only like him. After 2 seconds of hearing it, you know exactly who it is.
Yeah.
That's sort of why I felt like he might be into playing on the song.
Mm-hmm.
I re-recorded the song Shine On Me, and I went behind the console and I was listening to playback off the tape. And I just said out loud, this sounds like Mark Knopfler should be on.
Radio.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I've got to ask you about Dwayne Eddy, Dan, because I had to check, and this, I hope this doesn't sound rude, but I had to check he was still alive. You know, he's 79 years old, I believe.
He's an old dude.
What's it like working with older guys like that? You know, when you're a 37-year-old man, you've got a lot of experience, you've won a lot of awards, you've been all around the world, but there's a guy who has lived four lifetimes, you know?
Oh, my God. He told me one time he was in Las Vegas and he was hanging out with Elvis, and it was just him and Elvis. And Elvis said, Dwayne, do you know any way that I can get away from my manager? Talking about Colonel Tom Parker.
He must just be sitting there listening to those stories. You know, how'd you get any work done?
He told me a story one time. He was slap boxing with Charles Bronson, and he slapped Charles Bronson right in the face.
You must be having a time of your life, Dan. Seriously, this sounds like a great time in Nashville.
Oh, man, you know, all I do is write and or record every day, and it's just, it feels amazing.
Yeah, the Easy Eye sound thing. I'd love to come and just sit and watch it for weeks and weeks and come and drink whiskey with you. Dan, I've got to ask you, right, you spent a lot of time on tour as well. You've met a lot of famous people. You've toured with Arctic Monkeys. Now, I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon, right, which is about the most famous person you happen to have bumped into at a urinal. Can you grace us with a story? Because you're bound to have a belter.
You know, I did this show one time. We were doing a fundraiser. So it was a show where you don't get paid.
Yeah.
That's what that is, a fundraiser. Just want to make sure everybody knows. So I was there, left home, left Ohio, went to New York City, and was playing this fundraiser. And Lou Reed was on the fundraiser. And my cousin, Robert Quine, who's kind of a famous guitar player, he played in the Voidoids, Richard Hell in the Voidoids, and he played for Lou Reed forever. He had just passed away. Yeah. And he toured with Lou Reed for years. And anyway, Lou was on the gig, and so I walked up to him and said, "Hey, my name's Dan Auerbach, and my cousin was Robert. You know, I grew up in Akron, and you know, I play guitar with Robert." And Lou literally did an about face and walked away.
Oh no, that's cruel.
It was gnarly.
Dan, all the best for the new album. It's absolutely superb. It's been
Thank
a real
you
pleasure
so much.
To see you. Can you tell us anything about the Black Keys before you go? Any news on that front?
No, we're just taking a nice little vacation.
Okay. Well, Dan, it's great to see you.
All right, man.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I've got some very alarming Glastonbury news, so if you're standing up, please sit down and make sure you're prepared for this, because it's just alarming. 90s pop nightmare Steps have launched a petition to be invited to duet with Bee Gees legend Barry Gibb at Glastonbury in June. Right, I might start a petition to join Radiohead on stage if that's how it works. Anyway, the Pop Nuggets, they had a hit with their Bee Gees disco classic Tragedy, in case you haven't managed to erase that from your mind. They're now hoping they're going to get a guest slot on the Pyramid stage with Barry, right? So Claire from the band, if you didn't know who they all were, Claire said, "We should go on with them. It would be amazing." No, it wouldn't. Anyway, she went on, "If we went on with them, we wouldn't get glassed." Now you're about accurate, but you have given people an idea there. She said, "Can you imagine Steps do Glastonbury?" No, I can't. So just to help her out there, our bandmate Ian H. Watkins pleaded, "Please start a petition. They had Shirley Bassey and Dolly Parton, so why not us?" Where do I start, H? I think there's quite a few things I could spell out for you and why you shouldn't do it. Anyway, Barry Gibb did appear last year with Coldplay, and it was sensational. He played Disco Monster, Staying Alive, and the classic To Love Somebody. So I think in terms of legacy and partnerships and people that they want to play on stage with, Barry Gibb, I think Steps are quite low down the list, just after me and Johnny Vaughan. I'm going to have to rescue this with another band who played a genuinely touching part in Glastonbury last year is when Coldplay played a lovely tribute to Viola Beach. This is Boys That Sing on Radio X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Right, so I like to do this on a Monday night, a classic album. We delve a little bit deeper into something that we love from a few years gone by, and people normally suggest them, and one that keeps coming up and people ask for is Pulp and Different Class. So can you believe, 30th of October 1995, nearly 22 years ago, Different Class came out. I was just saying to producer Vin in the studio, it's one of those albums that I've bought, I think, five times and had stolen from me before we even saw the millennium. So one of those albums that people like to nick and have in their collection. Remember this, right? Number one in the UK, went platinum four times. It won the 90s 1986 Mercury Music Prize. Often forget that, just following on from Screamadelica. It was their fifth album as well, which is often forgotten, because it followed up His and Hers, which was a huge, huge breakthrough album, and it really did cement Jarvis and Co. as proper, proper songwriters. The singles as well, who could forget them? Common People, Disco 2000, Sorted for Ease and Whiz, Misshapes, Something Changed, and Vin, you mentioned as well there are some album tracks on there that you really love as well, like Pencil.
Underwear and Pencil Skirt, yeah.
Pencil Skirt's great song.
Brilliant tunes, yeah.
But again,
Bar Italia as well, there's so much on it.
It's a really good album, it's a really good album. And Finn as well, you were admiring the lyricism that Jarvis Cocker had found at this point.
Well, that's what I love about it, yeah, because he's very honest, he's very witty. He's sort of, for me, he sort of has that Morrissey thing going on, maybe, you know, a decade later. Sort of more middle class, I suppose, middle class Morrissey.
Well, on one hand, in 93 and 94, you had sort of a rip-roaring Liam Gallagher on telly, but then you had this sort of androgynous character from Sheffield.
Yeah, very sort of sweet and very, very camp, yeah.
Yeah, and stealing the show at the Brits as well by being a proper rock and roll frontman at the same time. Real musical courage as well, lots of strings, orchestral arrangements, Jarvis' brilliant lyrics, introverted, honest, bold, brave, and pretty uncomfortable at times, I think it has to be said. There's a lot of awkwardness discussed on there.
Well, there's unrequited love, but there's also, well, there's a lot of lust and a lot of sex on the album as well, isn't there?
Yeah, and also about feeling excluded and being on the outside, which is definitely a bit of Jarvis
Misshapes.
In there. Misshapes, indeed, but it's absolutely brilliant. And by the way, the theatrical flourishes, Jarvis at his peak camp, new wave and disco influences, it really was a classic. And if you remember the album sleeve as well, I didn't really know this beforehand, but it was all thrown together last minute, and it was a wedding in East Molesey, cardboard cutouts of the band and Dom and Sharon O'Connor and their parents, just thrown together. You think a band who've got an art school background would have had something a little bit more thoughtful, but it worked. It was absolutely perfect. So, on classic albums, it gives us a perfect chance to play two songs back to back. Now, indulge yourself, enjoy this. This is 90s Britpop classic. Two songs from Pulp, back to back, Disco 2000, followed by Common People. Just pretend to be Jarvis in your living room right now and enjoy this.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I'm Gordon Smart and this is The Evening Show on Radio X, and that was two classic tracks from the brilliant Pulp album Different Class, 1995, October 95, 22 years old. That was Common People. It was voted number 10 in the Radio X Best of British poll. It got to number 2 in the UK charts, and it really was that classic moment in Britpop, an obvious example of class tourism. It was recorded across 48 tracks, which made sense to us because if you listen to it, it sounds really, really rich. So it had keyboards in it, stylophone parts filling up each track, and it created that anthemic sound. And remember the video as well. Well, producer Vin, how old were you when that came out? 95? Were you alive?
I would have been 4 years old, but it's one of those videos that you see again and again and again. It's iconic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's all those choreographed dance moves with Jarvis out front leading the pack.
It wasn't choreographed, was it? Because he apparently just improvised it on the day.
Yeah, on the day. They made it up on the day, yeah.
Which is fantastic, isn't it? But well, a classic video as well. Before that, Disco 2000, and Jarvis has said every lyric in that song was absolutely true, except the wood chip wallpaper. And what I loved about it as well, Pulp removed the license for it in 1999 and 2000, so it wouldn't be cheapened by TV adverts and radio trailers. Clever boys. It preserved its indie spirit, Vin, which was quite right to do.
Yes, yeah, so there weren't people milking it over the turn of the century.
They made a few quid off of it as well, so admire them for that. Fair play to them. And of course, Different Class, if you didn't know, it was an album title that came out of a night out that Jarvis had in the early 90s when a mate of his described everything as Different Class, and he liked the double meaning, not just in class of its own, but also about the British social class system. Very clever indeed. Loved that. Double play from Pulp, from Different Class, classic albums. Make sure you get in touch to suggest one for next week, 83936 and at Radio X, and I'll do classic albums again every Monday night.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart, this is the Evening Show on Radio X. That was Razor Light. Now, I'm very excited to say this. I think excited is the right word, maybe apprehensive. if my parents are listening, I'm just going to apologise for what happens in the next half an hour, because I'm joined by one of Scotland's most talented men, in fact, one of Britain's most talented men. He's the star of the day, Line of Duty's Flying, the biggest rating show on BBC right now, Sunday night's Line of Duty. DS Arnott, Mr. Martin Compson's in the studio. Yay. Yes!
How you doing?
It's good to see you, Martin.
Thanks for having me, mate.
I'm just pleased you've not dumped me yet. You know, as a proper... for the first time ever, I got elbowed out of the way by somebody looking to speak to you the other night in a pub.
Oh, you didn't even see that, did you? Somebody wanting their money for the pint.
is it odd for you now? Because you've had a really good career, right? You've had, 15 solid years as an actor, fully employed all the way through. But suddenly there is this new sort of found fame.
Well, there is, but it's kind of getting maybe to that weird stage, like coming, doing on the plane this morning, you're kind of noticing people kind of taking sneaky pictures of you falling asleep, you're not that flattering. But what was really nice, actually, mate, when I was waiting on you, because I think everybody knows you're in Leicester Square here, I used to come down here, you know, when as an actor just starting out and stuff, and it was sort of, it's the sort of mecca for London, you want to be in Soho and stuff, and kind of just wander about, and you go, oh, can I clock anybody off the telly and stuff, and it was funny walking through there and everybody coming up to me. Yeah. So I mean, it kind of feels a wee bit like full circle. Plus, I learned nobody off the telly actually hangs about Leicester Square.
Me. Are they shouting Balaclava Man at you and stuff?
No,
like
everybody
that,
keeps shouting, you're alive, you're alive. It's funny. I mean, I love it, and because I'm really overwhelmed with the response, but it does get funny with people coming up and just kind of touching you and checking you're all right. And, yeah, and one of the weirdest ones I had was on the first series when my hand was in a vice. Some lassie just panicked in the street and ran up and started grabbing my hands and looking over for bruises and stuff. So people got a bit carried away, yeah, but I mean, that means we're doing the right stuff.
That's what you told the police anyway, wasn't it? You know, Martin, it's series 4 of Line of Duty, right? And it's, yeah, built up beautifully because it's nominated for awards all the way through. And this one kind of feels like it's reached this beautiful point where it's at its very, very best. Jed Mercurio, who writes it, is a superstar, isn't he? But I think what really makes it work is that chemistry between you, Vicky, Adrian Dunbar, and the guys that have been on before, like Neil Morrissey and Craig Parkinson.
We're a very close bunch. We all got on very well. I mean, the first series with Lenny, Neil, Craig, and as you say, it was genuinely the most fun I've ever had on a job. I remember one night after filming, we hired a bus to take us to Nottingham to go see his specials.
Yes.
And just stayed up there all night partying and then come back for filming the next day. Yeah. So, I mean, we really, really do get on. And as you say, I think that's a big part of it. But as you said, I think the strongest accent that's me, the strongest asset is Jed's writing. It's, yeah, always been, from the first series to off, it's as long as we do what's on the page right, then we're on to a winner.
Yeah, normally you ask actors, are you going to come back for another series? But in Line of Duty, that's kind of giving the game away massively, isn't
it? I know. And the thing is, people buy into it. People don't want to know. They can always go, tell me what happens. No, don't tell me, don't tell me. You know, I think it's been great for us as well. And it was sort of actually nice. I was out the country when I went over that banister a couple of weeks ago, because that could have been hard going with people. Because my Twitter and social media just went into meltdown. But it was good because Steve's is a character, so I don't think he was ever sort of the most popular, because I don't make him instantly likeable, even though he's a hero. But when everybody thought he was dead, everybody then suddenly all went, oh, he's the favourite one, we all love him. So that's been kind of nice.
Loads of people back in Greenock saying, that can't be hard for you, Martin, playing that that difficult man. You're going to stick around a little bit longer?
I will indeed, mate.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
You're listening to Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart, and this is the evening show. A very good friend of mine and one of the most successful actors of his generation. Do you like that? I keep teeing you up.
That was very kind, mate. Thank you.
Martin Compston from Line of Duty is in the studio. Martin, I know you love the Stone Roses, and there's a bit of a connection between you and the Stone Roses that people might not know.
Aye, well, I...
Do you want me to tell her before you jump in?
No, because I think that the normal life route for anybody being a successful actor is to move into the known business. That was the logical step for me. Yeah. No, basically, I do a charity gig every year for my local hospice, and the guy who puts it on with me is this sort of McDee, sort of well-known sort of music legend, and he had a little side business in garden gnomes, most notably the gnome roses. And I also moved into Oasis, definitely gnomely. It's endless, isn't it? And I just thought, so I said to me, I love them, and I got a set of them for my wedding, but I just thought, he's missing a trick by not doing football ones. So I asked him to mock up a few of my heroes, the mighty Glasgow Celtic. I think you're just back in our division, your lot.
I've just lost that sweepstake. I thought you'd have mentioned them before.
So I've moved into the gnome game.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny you mention that, because look what I've got here.
I'll raise you, Oasis, and I'll give you Celtic.
Tommy Johnson.
Aye.
That's Noel Gallagher.
The no ones, out of all of them, that's what I think. He looks like he's had quite a heavy night. I don't know, which wouldn't be a surprise, as you would know.
Well, I've seen a brilliant clip, in fact I filmed it, of you conducting Noel's choir backstage at Tea in the Park.
That's right.
You went from being his best friend
to
winding him up about Rangers and Celtic by the end of the night. But maybe you should send them one of them signed with a box set of Line of Duty.
Maybe, I think, because I actually think they've got a set for them of the Stone Roses painted gold, for Fool's Gold, so we'll get that through to them.
So things you didn't know about Martin Compston, former professional footballer, fan of waistcoats, great actor, and gnome entrepreneur.
That's it, yeah.
Just very quickly, do you want to give us your gnome sales pitch?
Lawn Legends, if you need anything for your garden, get up. I should have practiced it. Just it's a good thing for Father's Day. And I, in my garden in at the house in LA, we had a storm the other week where... because I've got my Oasis ones in the garden, and a tree come through and went through the car window, blew the gate off the fence, wrecked the next neighbour's house. And when I come out and put the trees, the wee Oasis mob are standing there strong. Hadn't they moved an inch? So they're very durable.
Durable Oasis gnomes.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is the Evening Show on Radio X. And that was Kasabian. I remember Serge Pisano getting in a spot of bother for a minor misdemeanour at Reading train station many moons ago, about 10 years ago now. We'd been playing in a football competition and we were on a platform getting a train back into London, and he had to answer the call of nature, and it was the best headline never written in the paper. Sergio Pisano, he got tapped on the shoulder and asked to clean it up. Otherwise there would have been some very embarrassing charges in court. But here's another crime-fighting showbiz caper for you. Hollywood hero Tom Hardy reportedly pursued and caught a moped thief this week. So apparently two thieves tried to half-inch a moped in the posh London suburb of Richmond, but good old Tom, with the community spirit, he ran after them yelling, "I caught the..." It's a naughty, naughty word. A young lad called Aaron Pullen, 22, he was the witness at the scene, and he said, "It was mental." I don't know if that's his accent. It's like he switched to superhero mode in an action movie. Two boys on the Nick moped had jumped a red light and smashed into a car. Tom must have been walking down the road. He went off like a shot in pursuit and looked furious. If the kid had been dumb enough to resist, I reckon Tom would have given him a good hiding. What a lovely witness quote that is. It's all in a day's work for Tom Hardy, the actor, the model, and now part-time community support officer. Speaking of which, here's the police. Oh dear.
Radio.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Martin Compston is still here, who is flying high. He's riding high on a wave of success at the moment. Living in Los Angeles, he's got offers flying into him every day of massive Hollywood films. I think, can I talk about one of them? Can I mention briefly that you're in a movie with Keira Knightley?
I am, yes. I did a movie with Keira and Alexander Skarsgård, who played Tarzan, and Jason Clarke, who I'm a massive fan of, kind of World War II thing. So that was enjoyable.
And you know what, you're a massive music fan, right? And I know that you've got a musical performance. Are you allowed to mention that, or can we just, will we keep it a secret?
No, I think, well, I say music, I'm a massive music fan, but I'm doing death. I can't play anything yet, so I have to kind of con my way through a performance in the film. Yeah. But I had a few swift ones for bravery before it.
Yeah, a bit of Dutch courage helps you through. Yeah. Now, we used to share a flat together, right? In London, which was eventful to say the least. Mm-hmm. I don't think the neighbours enjoyed it as much as you did.
Right.
But you're not there anymore. The flat's gone, right? Wait, so you're staying in London, but you put up in a lovely hotel, are you?
Yes, I am. But I'm come to London. I found a great wee spot, Leicester House.
Yeah, the reason I mention it was because when we shared a flat together, it wasn't just you and me. It was the boss of Radio X who shared
it. I seen your boss put up your shelves.
How weird is that? Like, you're now a Hollywood star, right? I'm getting a bit worried that I'm being left behind
here. I'm going to need to take somebody on in the gnome game soon, so maybe I've got a job for you.
I'd love to make gnomes with you. So Martin, we've had some wild nights out over the years, right? But can you tell me of a night you were out where you ended up beside somebody famous in the urinals? Because the reason I mention it is I'm writing this book called Slash Gordon, which I've told you about loads of times before. The most famous person you stood beside in a bathroom. So mine was Sean Connery. Who was yours?
Well, there's been one was, it was quite funny standing next to Benicio Del Toro, who had, shall we say, probably a few just things to help him along the way on his night.
Right.
And it was just funny, I'm just mumbling away beside you. Well, going, this is Benicio Del Toro, just mumbling as he's having a pee. But probably the funniest one was actually a good friend of yours as well. Is I remember being drunk one night at Kings of Leon. I was there with Tom Davis.
Yes.
And you know, you got the wee outdoor urinal hangs.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't know whether it's the height of the big man, but he wasn't keen on the peeing outside. So I'd need to stand there and wait for him for 20 minutes to actually could get in one of the cubicle hangs. I'm like, what are you hiding, big man?
He's 6'7", not in proportion.
Exactly.
So Martin, just to double check, Line of Duty, the final episode is on this Sunday night at 9 o'clock, is it?
9 o'clock, BBC One, the finale.
Finally, we will know who Balaclava Man is.
Aye.
Yeah, you even had to double check that.
Yeah, well, I actually haven't even watched it yet.
That's the thing, I can't believe you've made anti-corruption policing sexy.
I know.
And waistcoats.
And brought waistcoats back, and I kind of claimed them back from Mumford and Sons.
Waistcoats and gnomes. Nobody would believe.
That's the thing, though. I love a good waistcoat, but that's me gubbed for real life. I can't wear them now. I just get abused now.
Scotland's former most stylish man, Mr. Martin Compston. No, you're not getting to reply. You're not allowed to reply to that.
Radio. Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I've been really lucky on the evening show this year to have some brilliant guests, or glests, including Damon Albarn. And when he came in, he told us a great story about Slash Gordon. He once went to the toilet beside Robert Smith from The Cure, I think it was, at Brixton Academy. And if you don't know much about Slash, it's something I'm doing. I'm putting together a little book, probably the kind of book you take to the toilet with you, about the most famous person you happen to have bumped into at the gents. Or if you're a woman, maybe somebody that was in the cubicle next to you. Most people have a story, and we've done some brilliant... We've heard some great stories. One of them got a little bit dark. I had Kings of Leon on the show earlier this year, and I asked Nathan Folliwell who the most famous person he had bumped into at the gents.
Not anyone famous, but my uncle, Matt's dad, actually sang like in this big church choir, like the world we lived before we became this, and like it was a huge honor to be invited to this choir and sing. And so my uncle was one of the featured vocalists, and which was a huge deal for him. The other featured vocalist, they sang together. So fast forward to 20 years later, we're at a church function. You know, I'm in the urinal sitting there, and then this guy walks in and stands right beside me. I know who he is, but I'm like, you know, whatever. He looks over at me, looks down, looks back up and says, Cameron Folliwell. I said, excuse me? Said, you must be related to Cameron Folliwell. And that was Matthew's dad. And I was like, yes, he's my uncle. Like, let me get the hell out of here. Like, this is the weirdest situation I've ever been in my life.
I've got so many questions I want to ask about this.
I was going to say, did Matthew just find out something about his dad?
I just think we resemble each other.
There we go. Nashville, Tennessee, in one story, wrapped up very nicely, just reinforcing a stereotype. That was Kings of Leon, Nathan Folliwell.
Radio. Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm about to play you some Nirvana, the grunge pioneers who introduced Dave Grohl to the world. But his mum was worried his fame would come at a price, and that Madonna, to quote Mrs. Grohl, would snatch him up. I think it's Mama Don't Preach is the best way to discuss another terrible joke. Virginia Grohl is releasing a book, which sounds ace, by the way. It's called Cradle to Stage, and it's about the experience of raising a rock star, and it includes her irrational fear that Dave Grohl would start dating Madonna. She said, I did worry about women. I don't know how to tell you this, it's so embarrassing, but my biggest fear was that Madonna would snatch him up. I don't know, she'd be quite a nice daughter-in-law, a lively daughter-in-law. Foo Fighters are headlining Glastonbury this year, by the way. I don't know if Mrs. Grohl is going, but she should do. Keep an eye on them. They will be joined at the top of the bill by Radiohead and Ed Sheeran, who will play the Friday and Sunday night respectively. If I was Mrs. Grohl, I think I'd have been slightly more concerned about the Nirvana years.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I've been promising a tale from the Showbiz Urinals, and here it is. It's a good one. Damon Albarn. Now, he's been famous now for the best part of 30 years, so supported a few acts, he's had a few bands supporting him, been to loads of Showbiz bashes, so he's bound to have bumped into a lot of famous faces over the years in the urinals. So this is the time Damon explained one of his Showbiz encounters backstage in the box.
Well, I think it's about the time that I stood next to them, but when I just first time I ever played Brixton Academy, and I was supporting the Cramps, I stood next to Robert Smith from The Cure.
Wow! And did you make conversation?
Yeah, he was very nice. Was yeah,
didn't affect your flow in any way at all. You carried on with full confidence.
And then the next one would have been Paul Weller.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, regular listeners to the show will know that I like to talk about riders and what bands like to request backstage, their diva-ish demands. And I'll be doing domestic riders in just a second, so get thinking about what's on yours. But I had Alt-J on the show not that long ago, and they were talking about how their rider has changed over the years since they first won the Mercury Prize.
It's definitely quite different, I think. It's got more health conscious, I think. We sort of hummus and avocado and stuff, and kombucha we're very big on as well.
I don't even know what that is.
It's sort of like a weird vinegary health drink. It's the best way to describe it. Yeah, sort of like a fermented tea or kombucha. I'm not really sure. Yeah, it's good. You can get it in Whole Foods.
Can you have it with vodka?
You can actually. I was reading an article about kombucha cocktails, so you can make them. But we did have socks on our rider for a long time. I don't know if they're still on there, but that was quite a good tip. Any particular flavour of socks? Is it just a sports sock? Or are we talking sensible socks?
Black
socks. Well,
we had an epiphany on tour that new socks were always clean socks. So I think that's what
clean
we
socks
did.
Were always new socks.
Clean socks were always new socks.
I suppose you don't
or
have
new
to pack.
Socks were always clean socks.
So maybe the name for the B side of the new single. I don't know.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A bit of music news for you. The lineup for Glastonbury's Silver Haze has been revealed. Fatboy Slim, Mike Skinner, and Shaggy, who wasn't me, will be gracing the stage. I don't know why, but Shaggy always makes me laugh. True and completely surreal story for you, right? Sounds like a dream you might have after overcooking it at Glastonbury. I once had a night out with Shaggy, and there are some terrible name dropping here. A night out with Shaggy, Grace Jones, and Chris Blackwell, the boss of Island Records, in Jamaica and Strawberry Hill, and it ended with Grace Jones spending the entire night acting like a West Highland Terrier. The whole night, I'm talking hours, and Shaggy looking at her bemused, drinking rum. A weird, surreal evening that was. Anyway, so Fatboy Slim at Glastonbury, what about that for the perfect combination? So here he is in a previous incarnation with the House Martins on Radio X. This is Happy Hour.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. If you liked it, make sure you leave a review and tell all your friends it's one of the greatest things you've ever heard. We'll be back with another one next week.
Radio X.